danger. It's danger.
Everybody come to the Breakfast Club. I call this the hot seat.
You're wild. Can I live?
You are out of control. I can't even deal with you.
Y'all are so petty. Why are y'all so petty?
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Captain of this bitch.
Angela Yee.
I stay in everybody's business, but in a good way.
Charlamagne the God.
The ruler of rubbing you the wrong way.
The Breakfast Club.
Made for everybody.
Oh boy, this how we gonna start a Friday?
Good morning, USA!
Yo. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, come on in, Envy.
Charlamagne the God, peace to the planet. It's Friday! Did I do everybody's voice well?
Good job, sir.
I'm trying here. Angela Yee's in Miami. I don't know what's going on with her connection. Charlamagne, he's running a little late. I know he was in D.C. last night. He had a book signing out in D.C., so I don't know what's happening with that. But I'm here. And it's, play my theme music, man. It's Friday. Yes, it's Cinco de Mayo. That's right. That's right. And now I'm hearing Echo.
That means Angela Yee's there.
Yee, you there?
No.
Turn Yee down. All right, it's Cinco de Mayo, so we're going to have tequila, we're going to have tacos, and we're going to have... I can't say the other T word, right? No, can't say the other T word. Well, it is Cinco de Mayo. My teammates aren't here as yet. Do not give me front page news. I am not doing it. We're going to get Yee hooked up because I am not doing front page news today. I am going to sip some tequila, I'm going to mix it with some effing vodka, and I am going to enjoy my Friday. All right, now, yesterday, I told you guys, Elements Massage and Massage Envy is the best place to go. They're cheap massages, you could take your boo, it's only about $50 a month. I went yesterday, and I had an amazing massage. Hey, there's Charlamagne.
Tequila!
Hey, there you go!
Tequila!
That's right. Play the music for a moment.
Tequila?
There we go.
Where the tequila?
It is Cinco de Mayo.
Hey.
I was telling them about Massage Envy and Elements. You know, you go once a month. You pay for a monthly subscription.
I definitely am a proud subscriber to Massage Envy. I went there on Sunday.
I was there yesterday.
I went Sunday and got me a 90-minute massage.
Yes. Whoa, 90 minutes. Okay.
90 minutes. I needed it, bro. I woke up because I'm getting to that age where I wake up and, like, things just hurt for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So my neck was hurt because I must have slept wrong.
Right.
So I had to get them to rub it out.
Absolutely. Now, you were in D.C. I was telling the people you were in D.C. for your book signing. How was that?
Yeah, I was in D.C. yesterday. We was at the Capitale.
Mm-hmm.
Angela Rye was moderating it. I mean, it was crazy. It was ridiculous in there last night.
Okay.
But salute to everybody in D.C. We had a nice discussion about my book, Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It, which mm-hmm. is on the New York Times bestsellers list again this week. So thank
congrats,
you.
Congrats.
You ain't going to drop no bombs for me. Drop one of Clue's bombs for me, damn it. A lot of love in D.C. for the Breakfast Club and all the things we do.
Absolutely. Now, Kamel Bell will be joining us this morning.
That's my guy. I love Kamel Bell. He has a show called The United Shades of America that comes mm-hmm. on CNN. New season started this Sunday, actually. He had Richard Spencer on there this past Sunday. That crack-ass cracker Richard Spencer.
Okay.
He had him on.
I will kick it with him a little bit later. But right now, play my theme music again. Yes, it is Cinco de Mayo. So we're about to get some tequila.
Is that even Mexican music?
I don't know.
Y'all sure?
Don't
sound like nothing Speedy Gonzalez used to dance to.
I don't know. Well, we'll figure it out. That is tequila, tacos, and...
That is so stereotypical.
What? It's tequila, you do Christ. Tequila and you do tacos.
Tequila, tacos, and what else? A pinata, right?
I don't know. You know what? Let's
you don't do a pinata?
I know. You can't do a pinata, you ass. It's Future Mask Off. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Can I tell you about the old man moment your Uncle Charlotte just had?
Go ahead, old man.
Your Uncle Charlotte just found out.
Mm-hmm.
That this song, what's that song, Future Mask Off?
Mask Off.
And Molly Percocet?
It's the same song?
It's the same song.
It is.
I thought it was two different records.
No, one is the clean version.
I had no idea.
You're not allowed to say promote Molly Percocet.
I just thought the two records were the same. I thought it was a song about Molly Percocet, and I thought it was a song about You Gotta Represent. I had no idea.
Oh, my goodness.
I had no idea. No clue.
All right, well, let's get in some front page news. Still don't know what's going on with Yee. We'll get it together in a second. Now, last night in the NBA playoffs, Washington Wizards beat the Boston Celtics 116-89. The Celtics lead 2-1. The Golden State Warriors beat the Jazz 115-104. The Warriors lead 2-0.
The Warriors are going to win the championship this year. I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think so. I think the Cavs are going to win again.
I think Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson think otherwise, but whatever.
All right, now, Yee, we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hello, hello?
No, no. It's not going to work out.
We can hear you, but it's got that stupid ass echo. Well, every time.
All right,
every time I
go ahead. You talk about Obama's $2 million donation.
Obama. Trump sucks.
I wasn't prepared to do front page news, but I'm sure we're going to talk about Obama somehow, some way today. Also, Donald Trump somehow, some way today.
So basically what Envy is saying is he's not prepared to do the news, which he said the first time, and he just is throwing things out there for no damn reason.
All right. Well.
What?
Tell him why you're mad.
Now get right to it.
800-585-1051. I'm not faking it because I have no idea what's going on.
I keep telling y'all, this is the most raggy-ass successful show, most unprepared successful show ever in the history of radio. This is sad, bro.
This is very sad. But hey, if you're mad, if you're upset, or maybe you feel blessed, phone lines are wide open. 800-585-1051. Maybe you had a bad night, a bad morning. Or maybe you feel blessed. Maybe it's your birthday. Maybe you got something to celebrate. Call us up right now. 800-585-1051.
Maybe you got a nationally syndicated radio show that's on in 70 markets, and you really don't know how because nobody's ever prepared.
But we're here.
And
that's it.
We know it's Cinco de Mayo.
It's Cinco de Mayo.
Bring the tequila.
There we go.
Hold on.
I don't think there's any tequila. I think Wale took it last time he was here.
Took the goddamn tequila.
I think Wale took it last time he was here.
Wale don't even drink tequila. He African.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
800-585-1051. Tell him why you're mad. You're blessed. You can call us as well. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Courtney, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell her why you're mad, Courtney.
Oh, I'm not actually mad at all. I'm actually pretty blessed because my kid's father thought I would be homeless, but I ended up finding my own spot.
There you go, boo. So, why your baby daddy want to leave you homeless?
Well, he's not my baby daddy. I don't use that term. That's my kid's father.
Your kid's father.
Okay.
Well, why do you want to leave you homeless?
Who knows? Why do people do the things that they do? But God is over me.
There you go.
I'm blessed.
Okay. Thank you, Mama.
Blessings to you.
You're welcome.
Hello, who's this?
It's Ryan. Hey.
What's up, bro? You mad or you blessed this morning? Which one?
I'm blessed today, man.
Tell us why.
Because I got a child on the way. I'm about to figure out what gender it is in a couple weeks. I got a 3-year-old son. He blessed. Shout out to my family. Shout out to The Breakfast Club. I listen to y'all every morning.
Hey, we thank you, my brother.
Thank you, man. Hello, who's this?
Yo, Dean from the Bronx. What's up, DJ Envy?
Now, you was arguing with a guy for 20 minutes over a girl you're both smashing?
Yo, let me tell you something, B. I got a call yesterday private, man. This dude, I'm like, hello. This dude gets on the phone, starts asking me about his girl, and I'm like, yo, who's your girl? I'm like, yo, he's like, yo, he told me her name. I don't want to put her on blast, but yo, I don't even know the girl's been with someone. She told me she was solo, so now I'm pissed off because I might have to beat up some dude that I don't even know he had a girl.
You gonna beat up a dude over some jump that both of y'all smashed?
The dude's been telling me that he's engaged with her, and he's calling me, harassing me, and I'm like,
all you need to tell that brother is, look, I don't love this girl. I had sex with her once upon a time, and that's that.
Solomon, I told him that the dude go into a whole book about, like, yo, listen, man, but how you do this, how you do that.
You better be careful, man.
He told me he knows me from high school.
Yeah, you better be careful. He might come with a knife or a hammer. You just leave him alone, man.
Man, I'm going to try to do his best, man. But, you know, I just want you to put it out there, man. These girls got to start getting dudes like myself in trouble out there because he's putting people in situations, you know?
All right, thank you, bro. Hello, who's this?
What's up, man? This is Knowledge, man. How y'all doing?
Knowledge, what's up? Why you mad this morning?
Man, I'm mad because it's a video on YouTube that's just talking down on black privilege, man. Some fat dude in L.A., a lawyer. But the thing is, I don't think if he listens to the audiobook, man, he'll get a different feeling. I love black privilege.
Hey, thank you,
and
man.
I mean, I'm a brilliant idiot too, man, by law. But I just think that, like, you get a better feeling if you listen to the audiobook because we do got a divine spirit, man. We look at all this stuff that we come through, and we still make it. And we're going to still make it.
And we're going to still regardless. Make it. Here's the thing, my brother. A lot of those so-called conscious people who are already talking down on the book haven't even read the book. So you can't really be that conscious if you're just judging a book by a title.
800-585-1051. If you're upset or you're blessed, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
This is a caller from Sugarland.
A caller from Sugarland. All right, why are you mad this morning, mama?
I'm mad this morning because the hospital that I used to work at in the medical center, it shut down. So when the hospital shut down, all of these other hospitals in the surrounding areas and other places knew that this hospital shut down, and they knew we was going to all need jobs. So when we all clock over there to apply for these jobs, they are, like, underpaying us, like, $7 to $8 because they know we need the jobs. So that's why I'm mad. I feel like we being pimped.
You are being pimped.
We are, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, you can go find other jobs, true enough, but, I mean, just think, you come from one job, you got to accept the first thing that comes to you because it's better than nothing, and unemployment not going to pay you what you was getting. So, that's why I'm mad this morning.
So, okay. when you gonna finally accept being a hoe?
What?
Because you're a pimp, so when you...
stop it.
When you
going to
accept
mama.
Being a hoe?
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what up, man? I don't want to say my name like that online, but it's...
All right, well, get it off your chest. You sound like you mad, bro.
Yeah, man, like, well, first of all, I'm just going to talk about I'm mad and I'm blessed, too. But, yeah, I'm mad, man, that, like, man, Florida weather is bipolar. Like, I had planned to train today because I play rugby, and it's, like, pouring. I was trying to get some training in before I go to work, and, like, it's pouring. So, like, that just ruined my morning. But I am blessed that, you know, I got up, I got a job, got a beautiful wife and a beautiful son. So,
but you still live in Florida. Cool. And you talking about the weather?
Yeah, and like I said too, man, it's just that thing. I'm blessed because I lost like three friends and a family member in the past like 3 weeks. So
you got killed?
I'm just blessed. My friend he was murdered, and two of them were murdered, and one of my family member she passed away. So
yeah. Well, the two murders sound like Florida.
Hello, who's this?
You child in the city, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
What's up, bro? You mad? You blessed? Get it off your chest.
Man, I'm blessed. Today, payday, plus Breakfast Club just recently got added to our city. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm extra blessed, bro.
Thanks, love. Appreciate you, bro.
What you gonna buy with this check, man? I'm looking at these ZO2 slides by my man, LeVar Ball. I'm about to give me some of these big baller brand slides for the culture.
But honestly, I'm considering honestly going out and get that book today, for real.
There you go. Black privilege. Opportunity comes to those who create it. Go get that.
Have a good morning.
I'm mad at Shaq right now.
Why you mad at Shaq, man?
Because Shaq tweeted LeVar Ball and put, "Hey, LeVar, big baller, real big baller brands don't overcharge kids for shoes." Because, you know, Shaq's sneaker goes for like $12. But I'm like, do you call out Nike? Do you call out Adidas when they drop Yeezys?
Mm-hmm.
They sell overpriced shoes all the time. Now all of a sudden you're going to call out LeVar Ball and say big baller brands don't overcharge for shoes? All the big baller brands overcharge for shoes. Stop it, Shaq.
Well, he made his own shoe. How much his sneakers cost?
Shaq's sneaker cost $12 at Walmart. Oh, you talking about LeVar brand?
Yeah.
LeVar Ball sneakers, $495, and the slides are $220.
You gonna buy slides?
I'm definitely getting me some slides for the culture, okay? I'm supporting that black entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Because you know why? Because if LeVar Ball gets this off, he will change the game. Imagine if LeVar Ball puts this sneaker out, doesn't sign a sneaker deal for a couple of years, then one of these brands comes in and goes, well, damn, this dude Lonzo Ball is balling, and his sneaker's selling a little bit. Let's partner up with him. Imagine if LeBron James had a partnership with Nike instead of an endorsement deal. He'd be a billionaire right now.
Would he do a billionaire deal?
Yeah, eventually. But imagine if he'd have just sat out for a couple of years when he first came in the league. Imagine if LeBron, mm-hmm. or Kobe, mm-hmm. or Kevin Garnett, any of those people who turned out to be super all-stars decided, you know what? I'm going to forego this Nike contract for the first couple of years in the league. I'm going to show and prove. Now they're going to have to come partner with me. Well, LeVar Ball doing is actually genius. I don't know if it'll work, but it's genius.
Okay, how do sneakers look?
They trash, but that's not the point. It's not the point. The point is I'm going to support him for the culture.
Okay. And why don't you buy the sneakers then and not the slides?
I don't want the sneakers. I'm going to go ahead and buy the slides.
Okay.
Because LeVar Ball, me and him look like we got the same kind of feet. Big, clunky, hurt a little bit, yeah. Corn on the toes. It look like them slides would be very comfortable for a guy with my type of foot type.
All right. Well, that is Get It Off Your Chest. 800-585-1051. When we come back, we got rumors. Let me see if he's there. Yeah, you there? Yeah, you there yet? He's still not there. Rumors when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now let's get to the rumors. We'll tell you about Kodak Black.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club.
That's right. I still don't know what's going on with the phone lines. Angela Yee is out in Miami. We're trying to connect it, but it looks
Angela
look like
Yee
it's
might as well
happen.
Go home at this point.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Jesus Christ.
Now, let's talk about Kodak Black. It seems like he was sentenced to a year in jail for violating his house arrest, but
it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. If he finishes this course in jail, he will only get 30 days. So
that's not bad.
He'll have
30
days.
8 years.
Yeah, he was facing 8 years. He only got a year in prison. I mean, any time in prison is mad. He's been there for, what, the last... At least, what, 2 months now?
Yeah. And, I mean, what Kodak Black needs to do is just learn from his mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to get too many opportunities when it comes to that system. Next time you go in front of that judge, they're going to throw your little ass away. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you need to stay focused when you get out this time.
Well, I got a worldwide exclusive I'm going to play in the mix. It's actually Plies' new single featuring Kodak Black. So I'll play that.
I'm definitely here for that level of ignorance. Drop on the Clues Bombs for Plies and Kodak Black. That sounds amazing, and I haven't even heard it yet. What's the name of the record?
He hasn't told me the name of the record yet, but we will play it at...
That sounds incredible.
We're going to start the mix off with that.
I am here for that, and I haven't even heard it. Plies and Kodak Black?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, now also, Floyd Mayweather wants to buy an NBA team. He announced he officially wants to be a part of the NBA. He posted a picture of Magic Johnson. He had a great meeting with Magic Johnson. He said it's about time to buy an NBA team.
I'm all for that. Drop on the Clues Bombs for that nice black entrepreneurship, damn it. Magic and Floyd Mayweather got it.
What team would they buy, the Knicks?
I have no idea, but they got it.
They've been trying to get a team to Vegas for the longest time, so maybe they might even try to start a franchise if that's possible.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They've been trying to get a team in Vegas.
Listen,
for a minute
man,
now.
I respect Magic Johnson. I would go in business with Magic Johnson in a heartbeat. The man went one-on-one with HIV and won, okay? So salute that man.
Now, Barack Obama announced a $2 million donation to Chicago's summer jobs programs. He's trying to help people get jobs. He wants to unveil a new plan for a 200,000-square-foot campus on Chicago's south side that will house the Obama Presidential Center. He said the center will be used to train the next generation of leadership.
Good. And that man cannot donate $200 million unless he's getting paid $400,000 a speech. So let Barack get his bread so he can put his money in the right places. Drop on the Clues Bombs with Barack Obama, damn it.
Let's hear it.
One of the things that we will be starting this year is Michelle and I personally are going to donate $2 million to our summer jobs programs here in the community so that right away young people can get to work.
Personally. Personally going to donate $400,000. I think I'm going to see Michelle.
$2
million. $2 million. But I'm just saying, unless he gets paid $400,000 a show.
He can't pay it for
not
it.
Not a show, but a speech.
We know what you meant.
Yeah. He ain't going to have the money to be able to do stuff like that.
Right.
Isn't today National College Signing Day or something like that?
I know today's Cinco de Mayo.
I know today. Shut up. Of course we know today's Cinco de Mayo.
Today is Cinco de Mayo.
But today's National College. It was yesterday.
See you all, love. I tell you, put my music back up.
That's right. Happy Cinco de Mayo. When we come back,
no,
we got
what
front
I'm trying
page
to tell
news.
Y'all, if you turn the damn music down, what? Is I'm doing something today with Michelle Obama. It's some National College Signing Day, even though I didn't go to college. Yeah. It's College Signing Day in New York. Tomorrow. It's today.
You get your stuff together.
Is
it today or tomorrow?
Gonna be there. I thought it was today because I'm scheduled to be there today.
So. What are you doing?
Telling people why they should go to college with Michelle Obama.
But you didn't
go
to college.
I'm going to put the picture on the gram later.
I'm going to put the picture on the gram. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
That's all that
all
matters.
All that matters is that I'm getting that picture of Michelle Obama for the gram later, damn it.
There you go. Okay. Turn the music back
and
up.
The reason they have me there is because I'm a New York Times bestselling author.
There you go.
Just want to throw that out there.
Turn up the music again. It's Cinco de Mayo. When we come back, we got front page news. We'll tell you about Obamacare, your President Donald Trump, and tequila.
What? I'm not going to lie, that accent makes me want Donald Trump to build the wall to keep people like you out.
Okay? Shut up.
You.
I'm from here.
All right.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. You there?
I'm here.
All right.
No.
Nope. Not going to happen.
Echo.
Yeah.
There goes that echo.
All right, now last night, the Washington Wizards beat the Celtics 116-89. The Golden State Warriors beat the Jazz 115-104. Now, let's talk Lonzo Ball.
About that big baller, Lonzo Ball, and his daddy, LaVar.
Now, Lonzo Ball, his... we have audio? Let's play the audio of his new sneaker ad. He has a new sneaker he's putting out. They retail for $495, and the slides retail for $220. Let's play.
I'm humbled by the position I'm in today. I'm thankful for everyone that helped me get here. Why not the norm? Because norm was boring. At the end of the day, it's up to us, the athletes. We push the culture forward. Don't let the culture push us.
Oh, that's real. Drop one of Clues bombs for that, damn it.
Now, his dad.
We push the culture forward. Don't let the culture push us.
Now, let's talk about who the Ball family is. The Ball family is a group of athletes that really can play ball pretty good. They have a son in college.
Lonzo.
They have one.
Lonzo's going to the pros.
He's going to the pros. They have one in high school that gets busy. And he's a senior now. He's going to. And then they have one more that kid that gets busy.
And they have a visionary daddy named LaVar Ball, who says he's not going to let these companies own his kids, but he will partner with these companies with his kids.
Right. He talks a lot. He talks that he can beat Michael Jordan on a one-on-one game. He talks like his kids are the best kids, which you are supposed to talk about your kids like that. But people are saying he's doing too much.
I don't think he's doing too much at all. I think that if LaVar Ball actually gets this to work, then he changes the dynamic between sneaker companies and players forever. Now you can't just hire me to do endorsement deals. You really do have to partner up with me. I don't have a problem with that. Now, do I think the sneakers are a little overpriced? Absolutely. But all sneakers are overpriced. That's why I didn't understand when Shaq tweeted out yesterday, he tweeted out something to the effect of big baller brands don't overcharge kids for sneakers. Yes, they do. Every brand overcharges kids for sneakers. How much you think sneakers cost to make?
About maybe $20, maybe $15.
On average,
about $15.
On average, it costs like $30 to make a pair of Nikes. Mm. They do 600% markup.
I think less than that. Yeah, I think less than that. About $15, $20. They make it overseas.
It depends which one it is. It depends on
what kind of leather they use.
But on average, it's about $30.
Right.
Like the Yeezy Boost. I read something where it said the Yeezy Boost retail for $350. The Yeezy Boost 750s.
The 750, that's the high top ones. Yes. The low top ones that everybody wearing, they're about 220.
Well, the Yeezy Boost 750s were 350 when they came out. They cost $76 to make. $76 to make. Damn. So what the hell are y'all talking about? They're overpriced and overcharge kids for sneakers all the time.
Yeah,
now,
but
do you want to pay that for some big baller brands? No. Okay.
But, you know, but also I think people are saying he's doing too much because his son hasn't proven himself in the league. How many times have we seen somebody that was supposed to come out of college, supposed to be dead nice and trash?
What's that mean? Sometimes
Christian, what's the kid's name? Christian Layton? What was his name?
This guy said Christian.
What was his name? You know what I'm talking about.
I like the fact you picked the white guy. Drop on the clues bomb for that. That's stay on brand.
What was
like
his name? Because he was picked number one over Shaq, because Shaq was picked number two.
No, he wasn't. Shaq was number one, boy.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. You need to just shut the
hell
up.
Oh, no. He went to the Dream Team over Shaq.
Christian Laettner.
Christian.
Yes.
Boy, was it Christian Laettner?
Yes.
It was Christian Laettner.
You had to go that far back?
I had to go that far back.
Jesus
I couldn't
Christ.
Think anybody else.
Lord have mercy.
I couldn't think anybody else. But anyway,
Jesus Christ.
He was supposed to be an amazing player.
It don't matter. Sometimes you got to bet on yourself, like my man Vegas Jones says, man. Sometimes you got to take a gamble and take a risk. Because guess what? If this wins for LaVar Ball, then he changes the game forever. If he loses, the only person that's hurt is him and his kid.
Well, we're asking, 800-585-1051, do you think LaVar Ball and the Ball family are doing too much right now?
Most of the people who say somebody's doing too much, they're usually not doing enough.
Sneakers for $495, slides, which are flip-flops, for $220.
Oh, please, y'all walk around, y'all F your girl in some Gucci flip-flops. Gucci range from $190 to $350 for some slides.
Stop. So we're asking, 800-585-1051, are they doing too much? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball. Now,
Big LaVar Ball.
He's a dad. He's a proud dad. He has three kids that can really ball. He trains the hell out of these kids. He has a kid in college right now that's probably going to go pro.
Lonzo Ball will be a top three pick. What are you talking about?
And he has a couple of other kids in high school. One's a senior, one's a sophomore, and they both can play ball as well. So he decided that he doesn't necessarily want to mess with any of the huge sneaker companies. He wants to create his own. We have audio.
I'm humbled by the position I'm in today. I'm thankful for everyone that helped me get here. Why not the norm? Because norm was boring. At the end of the day, it's up to us, the athletes. We push the culture forward. Don't let the culture push us.
Well, actually, he went to the sneaker companies and he told them, like, look, you can't own my kids, but we can partner up, which I think is very dope, and I'm going to tell you why. Mm. Can you imagine if LeBron James came into the league and LeBron James said, you know what? Nike, I'm not going to sign this contract right now. I'm going to relax and wait a little while. You know, I'll get back to y'all in 2 or 3 years. After LeBron James came in the league and proved himself and became the king that he was after a couple years, after his third year, he could have easily partnered up with a Nike or whoever to do his own sneaker and be an owner and be a super billionaire right now.
I'm not mad at him for what he's doing. Maybe the way that he's doing it just seems very, very cocky. It seems like...
Yeah, it's always cocky to throw a middle finger to the system.
Not necessarily. There's a way to do it in a way that people will respect you and want to do business with you. I think a lot of people might not want to do business with him, not because it's not a good idea, just because he seems like he's too cocky. Too egotistical.
I respect it. And another reason I respect it, we saw how a few years ago Kanye was around here crying, oh, Nike, do business with me. Oh, Adidas, do business with me. LeVar Ball's like, oh, okay, y'all don't want to do business with me? I'm going to go do business with myself.
Right.
I'm going to go get my own sneaker, man.
I'm not mad at that.
I respect it. Now, do I think the sneakers are a little overpriced? Absolutely, because they look like trash. But I'm going to go buy me a pair of them $220 slides strictly for the culture because I like what LeVar Ball represents. And right. If he wins with this, he changes the dynamic between sneaker companies and players forever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only thing is the sneakers, you can tell that he needs a team. He needs a design team. The sneakers are not too look. They don't look too good.
I mean, neither do Stephon Marbury's.
But I don't
know.
But
that's why they cost $12.
That's why they cost $12.
Neither do Shaquille O'Neal's, but that's why they cost $12.
There you go.
And I didn't like what Shaq said. Shaq said that big baller brands don't overcharge kids for sneakers. Every big baller brand overcharges kids for sneakers. You know good and damn well, Shaq, that it costs these companies like $30 to make these sneakers, and then they put them in the store for retail, nothing less than $100.
Shaq had a pair of Reeboks that were expensive back in the day, too.
And I guarantee, you know what? Let me look up in how much it cost to make Shaq Reeboks before
I remember Shaq did have a pair of
Reeboks. I remember that. Let's go to the phone.
And they weren't cheap because they were pumps, too. Hello, who's this?
This is Anwar from Indianapolis.
Hey, what do you think about the LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball and their new sneaker and their approach?
Well, I think the idea is, like, right on, but I think it's just a little too high. I mean, I've been in retail for a long time. He's cut out a lot of middlemen and going direct, but it's like, you know, it's like we're putting too much money value on the items. I mean, I don't know. I've had two boys, and they've never worn J's. What I always tell them, you know what, but your father's owned houses since the age of 35.
There you go.
So it's like, you know, we focus too much on the wrong thing. So, I mean, the idea that he's doing it is great. And I even worked for Stephen Barrett back in the day. You know, what Stephon Marbury did. Mm-hmm. The shoes were $14, and he still made good money. So the idea that he's charging that much is just crazy.
But the only problem, thank you for your call, but the only problem, like, you know, since he's doing it himself, those prototypes cost a lot more. He's not going overseas to make them where it's cost him $30. Them prototypes might cost him $150, you know?
That's probably why he got to sell them for so
That's
high.
That's probably why he has to sell them for so high. Hello, who's this?
Oh, this is Cash from Brooklyn.
Hey, Cash. We're talking about LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball and their approach. What do you think?
I respect what he's doing. I just don't think he should put everything in one basket over his son's career. There's too many Derrick Roses, too many
Anthony Hardaway.
You get what I mean? It just takes one step.
Why are black people so goddamn pessimistic? What do you mean one Derrick Rose, one Anthony Hardaway? It's also a LeBron James.
That's right.
It's also a Kobe. Right. It's also a Kevin Garnett. It's also a Shaq.
But the probability of people that actually make it in the league against the people that don't make it is way higher for the people that don't make it in the league.
This man, Lonzo Ball, has already made it this far. This guy's about to be a top three pick. We know how difficult it is to get in the NBA.
Right.
So if you've made it this far, why not bet on yourself?
He
why not go
himself.
For it?
He is betting on
You're
himself.
Still going to get your NBA money. NBA money probably ain't going to be as good as your endorsement money for a couple of years.
I agree with you 100%, but you don't want to box yourself out because what he's doing with his kids, I mean, he could create so many different things outside of just his kids because he created three stars in basketball. You don't want to push yourself to the point where nobody wants to work with you.
Listen, if Lonzo Ball goes out there and balls his ass off, which he has no choice but to do, his man's last name is Ball.
Right.
Okay? If the man goes out there and does what he's supposed to do, they'll be fine.
Perfect example, Dame Dash. Genius.
Yeah.
Genius.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can say he's not a genius. Some of the things he created, some of the things that he done was just genius, but a lot of companies just don't want to deal with him.
They stopped wanting to deal with him when he stopped having a viable product, which was Jay-Z. So as long as Lonzo Ball goes out there and busts his ass, LeVar can be out here talking that talk. Okay?
All right.
And in the words of Jay-Z, the first Indian over the hill always catches the most arrows. Or is it the first cowboy catches the most bullets?
Goodness.
Remember when he was here, he told us an analogy.
Goodness.
And it was something about cowboys and Indians. All
right.
I know is whoever goes over the hill first catches the bullets or the arrows. That's what LeVar Ball is doing. He's catching these bullets and these arrows for us right now.
All right, whatever. If you just joined us, we're talking LeVar Ball. If you don't know who he is, he's a father who has three kids that can actually play basketball. One is about to make it to the league. The other two are just as good.
The man is destined to be a basketball titan. The guy's last name is Ball.
Right.
All right.
Now, he created these sneakers. They're called, what are the sneakers called?
Big Baller Brand, damn
Big
it.
Big Baller Brand.
Okay. Right. Triple B. Show some goddamn respect. Because you can pronounce Nike, you can pronounce Adidas, you can pronounce Reebok, you pronounce Big Baller Brand correctly.
All right. So, we are asking, is he doing too much? Now, the sneakers go for $495. The slides go for $220. And this is the reason why he did these sneakers. Play the audio.
I'm humbled by the position I'm in today. I'm thankful for everyone that helped me get here. Why not the norm? Because norm was boring. At the end of the day, it's up to us, the athletes. We push the culture forward. Don't let the culture push us.
So is he doing too much? I think the concept and the idea is genius. Yes, you should. If you can afford it, you create your own sneaker. You have your kids wear your own sneakers, and that's what you should do. The problem is this, right? Nike, Reebok, Adidas, and what's the other company that's Steph Curry?
Under Armour,
right? They all have been doing it for a long time, so they created the actual packaging and the sneakers so it's actually comfortable and could give you heel and foot support. I hope that his company, he has enough money that his sneaker is actually giving his kids foot support.
Listen, at the end of the day, Big Baller Brand is starting the same way Nike did, the same way Reebok did, the same way Adidas did. They had to start somewhere.
Right.
And I'm not mad at the idea, but I think they are a little overpriced. Pulls this off, he changes the dynamic between sneaker companies and players forever. Can you imagine if LeBron James, it's the same thing as when artists choose to be independent.
Okay.
Like how Chance the Rapper is like, yo, I'm not signing to no labels. Imagine if LeBron James would have said, you know what? I'm not signing to Nike in my first couple years in the league. I'm going to wait. And then after his first few years, when he proves himself and he's really the king, he's like, yo, let's partner up. Now you're wearing business together. Absolutely. LeBron would be a billionaire now.
Right, but the problem is, I respect his ideas, but the problem is his approach. He seems like a cocky individual that I think a lot of people will not want to do business with.
Yeah,
and we see that all the time. We see people with great ideas, they're too cocky, and they're staying in their own way of being successful.
He's just a field That's all. That's all. LeVar's a field Negro, and sometimes when you're a field Negro, people don't understand you. The Negroes in the house is like, what are you doing making all that noise in the field, LeVar? Relax.
But I just hope that his sneaker is good enough to wear in the NBA. I hope it's not like Converse. Like, you ever try to play ball in some flimsy Converse?
Converse ain't made.
You would break your ankles.
You're not supposed to be playing Converse.
I hope he has the right stuff in those sneakers to be comfortable and that he could cross over and do everything that he needs to do.
Converse is for crib walking. Okay?
Hello, who's this?
Good morning.
Hey, what do you think about the Ball's approach?
LeVar needs to dumb himself down and stop being so cocky for his children. His children aren't going to be able to have a future. I get it. Stick by your kids. No doubt about that. But when your kids can't even live up to what you say, that he's better than Jordan, better than Steph Curry.
LeVar never said that his kids were better than Jordan. He said that his kid could be better than Steph Curry, though.
Right. Hello, who's this?
What's up, this JR calling from Chesapeake, VA, you know what I mean?
Hey, what do you think about LeVar Ball and his approach?
What I think is he's doing too much. Ain't nothing wrong with being a father looking out for your sons. But right. Like you said, MVP,
ain't nothing wrong with being a father looking out for your sons.
You at least got to prove yourself. I mean, $500 for somebody that ain't even in the league yet, he's charging more than they charge for Jordan. And Envy, you were talking about Sam Bowie. He got drafted before Jordan.
Oh, Sam Bowie, that's right.
First round. Yeah,
you know Sam Bowie
I mean?
Got drafted.
And he was a bum.
What does that mean?
I mean, anything. You could be a bum. You don't know how your kid's going to be. You got to prove yourself.
Sometimes you got to gamble on yourself.
You got to bet on yourself, but you got to do it in a way where you're not too cocky and you're stepping in your own way. So what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is, man, if you don't bet on yourself, nobody else will. And I don't like to gamble, but if there's one thing I'm willing to bet on, it's myself. So I'm not mad at LeVar Ball. Sneakers are a little overpriced, but I love the idea. I love the principle. I love the spirit. Go. LeVar.
All right. All right, when we come back, we got rumors. We'll tell you about Floyd Mayweather. And I don't know what else is going on in the rumors. He's not here. We'll figure it out. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. He sucks, man.
What?
It's a Friday. Cinco de Mayo. Turn up my Cinco de Mayo music, man.
Ain't no tequila in the building.
Ain't no tequila
Ain't no
in the building.
Ain't no tacos in the building.
Angela Yee's mic won't work, so I got to do the rumors and stuff. I just want to sit back, drink my tequila, mix it with a little effing, have some tacos.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really like Cinco de Mayo, but not because of the holiday, but because my grandmother died on Cinco de Mayo like a, Oh, I killed the mood. Oh, my bad. My grandmother did die on Cinco de Mayo.
All right, let's get to
about 11 years ago. You know,
rest
and
in
I
peace,
remember
grandma.
That. I remember that vividly because I was drunk off tequila, pissy drunk. And when I turned my phone back on, because that's when I was working with Wendy, and when I turned my phone turned off, and I turned my phone back on after the show, I was getting all the messages and all the calls that my grandmother had passed. So, yes. All right, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Kill the mood. All right, well, let's get into the rumors. Great.
Listen up.
This just in. All the gossip. The Rumor Report. Gossip. With Angela Yee.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Condolences to your family, bro.
That was 11 years ago.
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because it's Cinco de Mayo. It's not like she did. My grandmother did pass on Cinco de Mayo. Jesus Christ.
Well, today is Chris Brown's birthday. Happy birthday to Chris Brown. Give him a round of applause, man. This is his birthday. This is born day.
I don't know him.
All right.
Matter of fact, happy born day to Tahiri. Drop on the clues bomb for Tahiri. I know her.
Oh, you can drop one. You can do a favor,
happy
but not for Chris
day
Brown.
To Tahiri.
Chris happy, Brown is my guy. My light skin brethren.
And
thank
happy
you.
Born day to my girl, Kendra G. Kendra G does mornings at WGCI in Chicago. That's family right there.
She went to Hampton University.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about Kendrick Lamar. Now, his album, Damn, is officially certified platinum. Congratulations
okay.
to him.
I'm not going to lie. I slept on Damn album. It's not that I slept on it. I just heard it, and I was like, okay, it's cool. I just didn't think it was, like,
that's
crazy
a dope
like everybody's saying. It's a dope album. It is a dope album.
Now, you said Big Sean's album was the hottest album, so now you heard both of them. Which one you think is better?
I still like Big Sean's album just a tad bit better. There's a couple albums I like actually better than Damn this year. I like Big Sean's album. Mm-hmm. I like Rick Ross's Rather You Than Me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say Damn. And then Wale's Shine.
Well, we'll see about Logic's album. Logic's album has dropped today, and Logic has been trending all morning long. The name of the album is Everybody, and he has a track called Everybody. Let's play a snippet of it.
Go figure, and my blood is the slave and the master. It's like the devil playing space with the pastor. But he was born with the white privilege. Man, what the fuck is that? White people told me as a child, as a little boy playing with his toys, I should be ashamed to be black. And some black people look ashamed when I rap, like my great-granddaddy didn't take a whip to the back. Not accepted by the black or the white. I don't give a fuck, praise God, I can see the light. Everybody talk about race this, race that. I wish I could erase that, face that.
All right.
Yeah, salute to Logic. You know, every now and then people will start reposting that clip of when Logic was on The Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off with me saying, who raped your sister? And then it's like Logic saying he don't want to talk about that. And then everybody slanders me.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was no context to that interview. Like he brought it up in the interview. You don't remember we was interviewing Logic?
I remember.
And he just was just randomly talking. He was like, yeah, my sister got raped.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to just breeze by that. Like, who raped your sister? Like, I want to know. Like, you brought it up. If he hadn't brought it up, I wouldn't have known. But you just bring it up in an interview. If you don't want somebody to ask you about something, don't bring it up in an interview.
All period. Right. Now, Swiss Beats, shout out to Swiss Beats. He's working on his album. Of course, he did a deal with Epic Records. And there was a picture of him and Hove leaving the studio. Swiss posted the picture, and he said he's in album mode. So I can't wait to hear that. And lastly, J.R. Smith, he says his daughter is doing great. Remember, she was born, she was only 1 pound, and it was very, very iffy. They didn't know if she was going to make it or how it was going to happen, but she's doing great. She's 6 pounds and doing much, much better, so we just want to report that.
Absolutely, salute to J.R. Smith and his family.
And that is your rumor report. Now, Charlamagne.
Yes.
Donkey today, who are you giving that donkey to?
You know, I just want to vent a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing a lot of people hating on the big baller brand. And I need these people to come to the front of the congregation. I would like to have a word with them, okay? I'm Team Triple B.
You Team Triple B?
I'm Team Triple B, goddammit. I'm going to get me some big baller slides right now.
No, if you're going to do it, you got to buy the sneakers and the
I'm
slides.
I'm buying the sneakers.
And they got an autographed pair for $995.
I got tricky feet. I got corns on both baby toes. I can't just be putting on any old sneakers. The slides, that's more my stees.
All right. Donkey today when we come back.
Time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey. Yee-haw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Turn my mic on, damn it.
It's on.
Okay. Donkey of the Day for Friday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, goes to everyone hating. And yes, I said hating. On the shoe line now known to the masses as the Big Baller Brand. Drop one of Clues Bombs for the Big Baller Brand, damn it. Now on Thursday, the visionary that is LeVar Ball unveiled the Zoe 2 shoe line that he designed for his son Lonzo, with the main pair, the signature shoe, debuting at $495 on the company's website. Now, if you're watching us on Revolt TV, you can see some of this heat okay? Lonzo Ball autographed. Oh, it's a pair of shoes that are autographed by Lonzo Ball with a wet color scheme, and they're being sold for $995. Okay, sandals with Lonzo Ball's logo on the top are $220 per pair. Okay, the main shoe that I just mentioned has a price point of $495, but it has a microfiber python texture. It's in, what is that, Matty or Mate?
Matt.
Matt Black, okay?
Matte Black,
and
Matt.
And it has what the website describes as a DeLorean finish. The only DeLorean I know is the one from Back to the Future, all right? Big Baller Brand tweeted out a pic of the footwear yesterday with the caption, "The sports world is forever changed. Introducing Lonzo's first signature shoe, the Zoe 2 Prime Drop." Okay?
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't even know what that means. But drop one of Clues bombs for the Big Baller Brand, damn it. Okay? I personally am going to order a pair of those Big Baller Brand slides because I support black business, black entrepreneurship. I support people who have the balls enough to throw a middle finger to the system. I respect people who have the balls to buck the status quo. I love people who have the mental fortitude to kiss tradition goodbye. See, this is the thing. We can laugh and criticize LeVar Ball, but if this works, Big Baller Brand wins big and changes the dynamic between players and sneaker companies forever. If this works, a new model between players and sneaker companies is born and everybody wins. If it doesn't work, the only person that hurts is LeVar Ball and his son Lonzo. But damn it, in life you have to take risk, and I would never slander someone who is willing to bet on themselves, okay? Now, are the sneakers overpriced? Absolutely. All right, but the reality of the situation is all sneakers are overpriced. That's why I didn't understand why Shaq tweeted out, "Hey, LeVar Big Baller, real Big Baller brands don't ever overcharge kids for shoes." Shaq, that is a devil damn lie. All of these big balling ass brands overcharge kids for shoes. Those Yeezy Boost 750s y'all love, they retail for $350, but they only cost $76 to make. On average, a Nike sneaker costs $100, and it only cost them $30 to make, and that's not even including Jordans and everything else. So yes, Shaq, all the real big baller brands that make billions of dollars do overcharge kids for sneakers. I hate whenever it's us promoting ourselves, trying to start our own businesses, we are labeled as doing too much. Y'all have no problem saying y'all F somebody's girl in some Gucci flip-flops. Gucci flip-flops range in prices from $190 to $350, and y'all will go buy them and wham with no pedicure and corns on your toes and don't care who get the money. But when it comes to LeVar Ball slides, y'all don't want to have sex with nobody else girl in them. Look, the only thing Big Baller Brand is doing wrong is overpricing the items. Other than that, what he's doing is genius, okay? He doesn't want his kids to be workers and endorsers. He wants them to be owners. He wants one of these big sneaker companies to partner with him. I respect it. It's like when a label doesn't want to sign an artist, or the artist goes and gets popping themselves. Bruh, if you don't bet on yourself, nobody else will. Imagine if LeBron James and Kevin Durant would have foregoed their initial Nike contracts and held out for a couple years. You think every sneaker company in the world wouldn't want to partner with them? Steph Curry got equity in Under Armour, don't he?
Yes.
All right. So it's not like players having equity in these companies is out of the realm of possibilities. All I'm saying is LeVar Ball and the Big Baller Brand have the right energy, just the wrong prices. And I would not participate in the slander of LeVar Ball because he's betting on himself and taking a risk. If you want to slander him because his prices are too high, fine. But don't slander him because he's choosing dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. Please give everyone hating on the Big Baller Brand the biggest hee-haw, please.
My only thing. If these shoes don't pick up because they are just ugly, right?
Mm-hmm.
His sons could have did a deal with one of these huge corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Got a huge check.
Mm-hmm.
And equity.
As I just said, if this works, they win big.
And if it doesn't?
If it doesn't work, the only person who will be hurt is them. And by the way, if Lonzo Ball goes out there and balls, regardless of what happens, somebody's going to pick him up, period. So either way, it's a good bet.
Okay.
Either way, it's a good bet.
Well, I wish him the best. I want him to win.
I want him to win.
I want him to win.
I am rooting for the balls. Do I?
you're rooting for what? What? Stop the music. Stop the music. You're rooting for what? What are you rooting for?
I didn't even mean to score, and I scored.
What are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for the balls.
Oh, the rooting for the balls.
Yes.
Okay. Charlamagne's into the balls.
I am rooting For the balls, okay?
All right. Charlamagne's all in for the balls. Okay. Thank you, Charlamagne, for that donkey of the day. All right.
Who we got coming in? We got my guy coming
Kamal
in.
Kamal Bell.
Man.
That's Kamal right. Kamal Bell. Bell. When we come back, now tell the people who Kamal Bell is, what show he's on, Kamal, all that good stuff.
Kamal Bell is a comedian. You know, he has a show on CNN called The United Shades of America, one of my favorite shows to watch. It's in his second season. And he was with Richard Spencer last Sunday. This Sunday, he'll be in Chicago.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
Kamal Bell.
Special, yes.
United Shades of America.
Yes, sir.
Must-see TV in my house. I watched it Sunday.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
The episode with Richard Spencer.
Yes, sir.
And when you, I was like, wow. And I thought the one with the KKK was... It was hilarious. I didn't know if it was real or not.
Oh, it was real.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was real. Yeah, I was frightened. People said, were you scared? I was like, yeah, I was scared.
Well,
yeah.
I'll explain United Shades of America.
Basically, well, go ahead.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of want to hear what you have to tell. You explain
it. I mean, to me, it's just like you're, like how they say you should go across the aisle.
Yeah,
it's like you're going across the aisle, but you're going across the aisle with, like, extreme members of society. Ku Klux Klan, alt-right guys like Richard
Black
Spencer.
Black man with Afro went to KKK?
Yeah. I went to a cross burning.
How did that work out?
I'm here, right?
But you know, you also have the one on Chicago Games, and I had a chance to watch that one.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
They sent us a screener.
Okay. Yes, so I had a chance to see that in advance, which I was always very interested in, because you're right. There are certain cities that people say you can't go there because it's too dangerous. Yeah. There's too many gangs. Yeah. You know, and Chicago is definitely one of those places right now.
Yeah.
And people don't discuss the history of why is it the way that it is.
Yeah. So crazy, though, because I saw the special with the KKK, saw Richard Spencer, but when I saw the trailer on Sunday for Chicago, I was like, Kamal, you're going too far.
Going to the south side Chicago.
None of that was scary to me. Chicago?
Well, that's what's funny. People were like, what's the next controversial episode? Everything is controversial to different people. So the next episode I have to do with the Klan, we went to San Quentin. A lot of people were way more angry about me talking to inmates in San Quentin than they were about me talking to the Klan.
Really?
Yeah, because they're like, well, these guys are in jail. They did horrible things. They shouldn't get any screen time. You know, and meanwhile, and also because we told their stories and let them tell their stories. I didn't judge them. So.
Have you ever felt in danger on any of the episodes?
I mean, when the Klan one was, because the thing about the cross burning is that sort of makes it crazy. Not only was it a cross burning, it was also my very first day at work. So not only are you, like, trying to meet people and, hey, what's your name, also later on can go to a cross burning.
Explain that. Explain you meeting the members of the KKK.
Yeah.
How did that happen? What was that conversation like? And why?
If I was going to do this show, CNN already has Bourdain and Lisa Ling. That was the pilot. And I knew I had to do something that separated me from Bourdain and Lisa Ling. Like, Bourdain's not going to the Klan. He's not trying the food. So I was like, I got to do something that is, like, that really makes sure that if they buy this show, they're getting something different than what they already have.
How difficult is it to set up meetings with the Ku Klux Klan?
Yeah, who did you call?
Luckily, I didn't call anybody. I farmed that out to the white people on staff.
White people keep the KKK on speed. Call the Grand Wizard.
So, yeah, the producers had to call and, like, talk to them on the phone for hours. And the funny thing about the Klan, they think if they're talking to any white person, that white person is sympathetic to the Klan. And so, like, well, you know how these black people are. So the producers were like, oh, yeah, right. Can we meet on Friday at 4? You know, like, they had to sort of, like...
Say anything to get
the deal done. So then I showed up. I hadn't met them. You know, I showed up that day and met them. You know, but it was... The scary thing was, especially the cross-burning, we were there for hours. So we got there, like 4 in the afternoon. It was bright sunlight. And they don't light the cross until it's pitch black. So we're there, like, 3 hours waiting for... And we're not filming the whole time. So sometimes you're just waiting for it to get dark. And while 3 or 4 of them would talk to me, there was a whole, like, about 10 or 15 other ones who looked like they wanted to kill me. And I was like, you know, if this gets dark, how does this go down?
Where did you pee? I thought about that. Now that you say that, I'm like, I would have held my pee because I was no way I'm going to the woods.
No, I didn't ask for, where's the bathroom? I held my pee. I didn't even think about that till now. There was no, I think I probably soaked up my pee. I think I was probably.
What conversation did you have with him, you know, during that 3 hour time?
For me, the idea behind the show is that I was, as a black man, of course I'm curious about the Klan. Of course I want to know what's going on. And I'd always been curious to, like, what would that be like if you talk to them and hear them and actually let them lay out all their points and what they think and how they think this is going to work out. So for me, it was, like, everything from, like, explain to me why you don't like black people, and they always go back to the Bible because the Bible says the race shouldn't mix. Tell me about how you like the cross. I just wanted to, like, know all the things. I'm a curious person. And so the guy got excited. Nobody ever asked him these questions before. So you get to sort of see them. I'm not trying to humanize them, but I am trying to say that, like, I'm trying to demystify them is what I was trying to do.
Are you the only black person there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had the security guy was Mexican, but he told him he was white because they said there could be no other people of color around. So he said even though he's clearly Mexican.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. I wonder, people usually give people flack. They're like, oh, you shouldn't give these guys a platform.
Yeah.
Shouldn't give Richard Spencer the platform. Yeah. Shouldn't give KKK a platform. Like,
yeah.
Do you get that flack?
No, I've heard that, especially with Richard Spencer. The Klan, too, especially with Richard Spencer. I think to me that's cowardice, I feel like. Because giving Richard Spencer or the Klan a platform is if I said, this week on the show, I'm turning it over to the Klan and letting them do what they want to do.
Challenging them.
Yeah, I'm actually there. And also, especially with the Richard Spencer episode, surrounded by him talking about what he believes is stories of immigrants and refugees painting a picture of America that we would all support. And so for me, it's like the dichotomy. Like, on one hand, you have what he says. On the other hand, you have these people who are the America I want. And the reason why Spencer has importance right now is because his ideas are in the White House. His ideas are two offices down from Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, Stephen Miller. So it's like, it's not just some random guy we found. When we interviewed him, when we first booked that interview, he wasn't nationally known. By the time we got to the interview, he was become more known. And then after that, he's now become a national figure. So I feel like it's important. And I'm not sitting there, I'm pushing back on him. I'm also, it's clear what side I'm on. I don't end the show going, Richard Spencer believes this, immigrants and refugees believe this. I don't know who to believe. It's not, I'm not being a journalist. I'm being a comedian with an opinion.
Okay.
And I live in Berkeley, so I'll fight you.
Now, it's funny with Richard Spencer, because I'm sitting there watching him, and I'm watching him talk to you, and I'm like, I feel the same way about my blackness that Richard Spencer feels about his whiteness. I just don't want to oppress anybody.
Yeah, well, I think the thing he said is white people need to talk about their whiteness more. I believe that 100%. The problem is it's only white people like him who want to talk about their whiteness. I think every white person needs to talk about their whiteness.
If you're proud to be white, be proud to be white. Yeah. I'm proud to be black, proud to be Mexican, do it, gay, whatever.
Yeah, there's got to be, that's what I said, there's got to be good things about being white that aren't just white supremacy and slavery. There's got to be, Taylor Swift, I don't know. But, there's got to be things you can be proud of about being white, but white people identify whiteness as American. Mm-hmm. Or person. I'm a proud American. I'm a proud human being. As a human being, I feel. You hear white people say like that all the time.
Right.
But they don't say, as a white person, I feel this way. And I feel like white people need to claim that.
Yep, we got more with Kamora Bell when we come back. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got Kamora Bell in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
I loved when you broke down immigration.
How
so much of what we love right now is fueled by immigrants.
Yeah,
like Google and what else was it?
It's Google. It's Instagram. It's Facebook was co-founded by an immigrant. The list goes on and on.
I was watching it like, what have white people done lately? I'm serious.
That's why they were determined to take the White House back. They're like, we got to keep something in our corner. No, the immigrants fuel innovation in this country because they come here hungry and thirsty and actually trying to build the American dream that a lot of us have sort of given up on or realize we don't have access to. They don't show up thinking they don't have access to it. So then they create 3 million jobs. I mean, it's all the numbers are clearly in favor of immigration and people from other countries coming here.
Don't you feel like that's when you lose, though, when you tell yourself that you don't have access to it? Like, when you tell yourself it's not possible. As soon as you say that, it's like you're done. Yeah.
Well, I think it's not that we don't have access to it, but we've been convinced that over time. I mean, that's why the next episode is about Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the south side and west side of Chicago, there's acres and acres of undeveloped land.
Mm-hmm.
There's just all this all this potential that if the city said, we need to create tech investment, we need to give tax breaks to people to move into these places, forget you can't get a job, you can't go to a grocery store. So there's all this acres and acres of undeveloped land in one of the greatest cities in the country. It's not a bad town. Chicago's one of America's best cities.
There's only certain neighborhoods, certain areas.
Yeah. And if you go to the north side, you can see that it's wall-to-wall buildings and jobs and people, but the south side could look the same way. So,
and it's interesting you talk about how they cut money on education
in those
same neighborhoods where they're saying that there's problems. Now, when you left there, did you feel like, man, what can we do? Because that's one thing that people always talk about. What can we do to make those neighborhoods in Chicago better?
All the people, the so-called gang members, all the so-called poor people, all the black people have the answers. There needs to be reinvestment in the community. And so we very, I think, skillfully connect gang violence to reinvestment in the community and better schools. Like, if communities that have good schools and job opportunities don't have the same high crime rates. So, I mean, for me, it's like, I was really happy about that. People are going to tune into the episode thing. We're going to talk about the exciting gang violence. But
it was interesting to me when I saw one guy, when you pulled up to the neighborhood and the police were there and they were arresting somebody.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, no, I want the cops to do their job. Yeah. I just wanted them to do their job when they're supposed to.
Yeah, no, I was super happy about that because nobody expected that guy to be in favor of the cops because he's a very, he didn't seem like a guy who, he seemed like a guy who might be afraid of the cops, but he actually didn't trust the Black Lives Matter guy. And for me, that was like, I was like, nobody expects to see this on TV, that the dude from the hood is more worried about Black Lives Matter than he is about the cops.
But that's the truth. We do want to have cops, but we want our cops to do their jobs responsibly.
He was right.
Yeah.
Why the hell was he scared of the Black Lives Matter guy?
Not scared of him, but he didn't. The Black Lives Matter guy was like cop watching. He was recording the cops who were arresting a couple people. Gotcha. And he wasn't scared of him, but he was just like, he's like, the Black Lives Matter, he's like, he has nothing to do with this. He didn't even need to be here. Those cops are doing their jobs. And it's a dude who... that your average white person watching is going to be shocked that guy, they're gonna, you know how people
be a hood dude.
Yeah, it's a hood dude. Yeah.
So when you talk about reparations, what exactly do you mean?
I mean, reparations is the buzzword. It's also the scary word, but you're really just talking about reinvestment in the community.
Like, gotcha.
That cities all the time do this thing where they look at neighborhoods and they go, we're going to give tax breaks to the businesses that move here so that we can get things started. Right. We're going to put money in the schools here to sort of like, you know, as we know, nice suburbs have great public schools.
Right.
And, you know, so we know that it's not that money can solve the problem, but money can certainly begin to solve the problem, can grease the skids to the problem being solved.
You want HUD to do their job, basically.
Yeah, where's Ben Carson been?
Yes, cut the goddamn check.
Stuck in the elevator.
But you would think Ben Carson would be on a tour of all the cities talking to people because we know he doesn't know what the hell he's doing in that job. We know he doesn't know anything about it. So you would think he would be on some tour right now talking to activists, leaders, politicians in the major cities to figure out what we can do. But
that's why I wasn't upset when Steve Harvey went to go meet with Trump and Trump was like, we're going to connect him with Ben Carson. Steve was like, we're going to connect with Ben Carson and figure this thing out.
But is that a good look?
Yes, because Steve is already... invest his money into the hood and into the community.
But you understand why people would feel like that wasn't good.
I
look,
think they were
though.
Mad when he said he was a good guy or something like
and
that.
And also, there was like a photo op for Donald Trump.
It's the photo op of it.
You could do that behind the scenes and meet. But when it's Donald Trump, like me and my good buddy, Steve Harvey,
what if that photo op leads to millions being invested in the hood, though?
No, I hope it does. But we just don't...
Why not?
Wouldn't that happen from a conversation more than just a picture?
But who cares? If you want to have the convo and you get the picture, who cares? As long as the end result is... you get some betterment for the hood.
Well, let's see.
There's going to be a lot of people watching the Chicago episode who go, I already knew this stuff. But for most of the country, they don't know this stuff, or they think they know this stuff.
That's why you have to be patient and matters where others are involved, because there was a time that you who know knew not.
Yeah.
And I look at that from the flip side, too, because like when you hear people say things like when Tommy Lauren will say things like, the Black Panthers is like the KKK. No, they're not.
No.
But you don't know because you're 24 years old.
But will she sit down and listen to that, though, is the question.
She has.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's the thing.
Would it change her views? I don't know. But
yeah. But I think the idea is that even if you have a conversation with Tommy Lauren, especially like that's aired, other people are hearing the conversation. That's why I get with the Spencer thing. He's not going to change his views, but other people who are watching are changing
might
their
be a little
views.
Disgusted. Absolutely. Well, the Chicago one is going to be really great to watch because I really appreciate how, and I always say this, a lot of it people will say, oh, Chicago's terrible, they have gangs, the kids are bad, but you have to see why is it like that there. Why are people in gangs in Chicago? Mm-hmm. What's going on? And it's not just because people just grew up and said, hey, this is what I want to do, I want to be in a gang. It's the circumstances that you're in, and it's also... education plays a huge part in opportunity.
And as Malik Youssef says in the thing, he was looking for love on some level that there was not. He did not have a lot of love in his household, he said, and he was looking for love. And that's one thing is that we talk about too is that the gang life gave him a sense of belonging. And you know, but every to a person, there was not one gang member we talked to. And I even call them gang members. Who was like, this is the life I want, this is the life I love, and I'm happy to be here. And I think that's what's going to be surprising to people.
Well, you got
to
be careful, too. May 7th at 10 p.m. on CNN.
Yeah, and you got to be careful. You can't be a grown man saying you're looking for love.
He was saying, no. He was talking about when he was younger, like being in a fraternity with your brothers that love you and look out for you. It's like family.
All the love you need.
Well, we appreciate you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Bell.
Kamau.
Like Kamau.
Kamau.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Now, Kodak Black has been sentenced to 1 year in jail for violating his parole, or his probation, I should say. But it doesn't look like he's going to have to serve the whole 364 days in jail. There's supposed to be 365, but they gave him 364. They said he has to do some course in jail, and if he completes this course, he can be out in 30 days.
Well, that's good for Kodak Black because, you know, 30 days is much better than having to do 8 years. He just needs to come out and learn from his mistakes. If he's not learning from his mistakes, him getting those breaks is pointless.
And sidebar, and we're going to start the mix off with a new exclusive. This is Plies featuring Kodak Black. It's called Real Hitter. So that happens in about less than 7 minutes. All right. Now, also, Floyd Mayweather wants to buy an NBA team. He posted a picture with Magic Johnson, and it looks like he wants to buy a team.
As he should. And that's the perfect person to partner up with. If I was going to go to war with somebody, I'd want to go to war with somebody who played one-on-one with HIV and one.
Right. Now, I don't know where he's trying to get this team. They've been trying to get a professional basketball team in Vegas for a while now. I don't know how well that would do, but he is definitely trying to buy his own team. Now, he recently just bought a strip club in Vegas that he's been putting money into. That's supposed to be opening up soon. So he is investing a lot. Kendrick Lamar, his album officially went platinum. Congratulations to him. This is his fourth studio album. Now, Charlamagne, you mentioned that you love the Big Sean I Decided album. So which album you think is better?
I mean, I still like Big Sean I Decided a little bit better, but I do appreciate the Damn album more. It's not that I disliked the Damn album. I just feel like Kendrick is averaging 30 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, and it's almost like LeBron. Like, he's so great that we're just used to it. We take it for granted. When I heard Damn, I'm like, yeah, this is dope, but it just didn't feel like groundbreaking like the Pimp a Butterfly, you know what I'm saying? But if you, I actually like listening to it backwards. You listen to it backwards, it's really, really dope. But I still like I Decided just a little bit better. You know, and then I like Rick Ross's Rather You Than Me.
Rick Ross's album's dope.
And then I'll say Kendrick's Damn, and then Wale Shine. They're my favorite album so far this year.
Okay, and also Logic, he released his album today. His album is called Everybody. It's 13 tracks, and it features Killer Mike, Juicy J, Chuck D, Khalid, Khaled, and more. So definitely pick up that album if you're out and about as well.
Yeah, people really love to circle that clip of me and Logic. Like, they like to circulate that clip. And it starts off with me saying, "Who raped your sister?"
Yep.
And then Logic is like,
I don't want to talk about it.
Right, right. And they only play that part of the clip, but they don't play the 30 seconds prior where Logic is just randomly talking and he goes, "You know, my sister got raped." Mm-hmm. Like, bro, don't bring things up in an interview
if you don't want to be asked about them. Right.
Like, I'm not just going to let you. My sister got raped. What do you mean your sister got raped? Who raped your sister? Like, that's a common sense follow up question.
Right. All right. Well, that is your rumor report. Angela Yee, she was here. Her mic stopped working, so she's not here anymore, so we had to hold it down, all right? You guys have a great weekend. Shout to Revolt.